Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 4 through 14. I'm reading from the New International Version. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you in exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Almighty, the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. The New Testament reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 8 to 12. Let us again hear the word of God. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Sharon. Just before we pray, I wanted to remind people that some people think better when their hands are busy, and that's okay. So we have, there's some coloring pages over here that are designed for adults, and there's some markers there if you think it would be helpful for you to color. There's some little notebooks of scrap paper if you find it helpful to take notes or to doodle while you're listening. Just want to let you know they're there and to feel free to pick them up from the side and to use them. There's also a little spot on the bulletin for taking notes for the sermon. So please feel free to use any of those tools. Let us pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for Jeremiah. We thank you for Luke, who told these stories about what God was up to through Paul. We thank you for the scripture that offered us little hints at how we too can be your people here in this world. Open our hearts and minds this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So yesterday I had the joy of going to see good friends from high school who just bought their first house. And these things happen later and later in life. They are in their mid-40s. They had a condo downtown, and they were able to buy this lovely little house in the eastern part of Toronto for the first time. And it was lovely to see them and to talk. And we talked about all sorts of things, as you do with good friends. And one of the things that came up was talking about how exhausting it can be to read or to watch the news these days. That a lot of the time we see these stories that are happening, and there's these awful things that we feel terrible about, but we have no power to do anything about them. Wars that are happening on the other side of the world, famines, natural disasters, political upheaval. We could go on, and there's all these things, and we see them all the time. And it really does have an impact on us. It can make us tired, it can make us feel depressed or despair. And we were talking about what you can do about that, or what you should do about that. And what I was reflecting on as I was thinking about this afterwards, is how the world has changed in terms of the scope of news that we hear. For most of human history, your world was the circle around which you could walk, right? If there was another village over and things were happening there, you might hear about that news a week or two later. Things happening outside of that, it might be months. Things might happen in the fall that you hear about in the spring because a traveler has come through who happens to have come from that place. Your world was very small. And there were challenging and difficult things about that. But it did mean that the scope of news that you tended to hear about was all stuff that you could maybe do something about, right? If the farmer one farm over was struggling with having enough seed to plant, you might be able to share. Or you might know that the other person four doors the other way has seed to share, and you might be able to do something about it. And for all of the wonders of the internet and global communication, one of the things that has happened is we have more and more and more access to news that we can do nothing about, to news where we have no control over how those things come out, and yet we still receive information about it. We still see it. We're maybe still expected to form opinions about it. There are benefits to knowing about what's going on in the world because it allows us to, for people to hear other perspectives, for people who are in perhaps oppressed countries to learn about how things are done in other places. It allows for countries who can do something maybe to help countries who need it. But as individuals, it can be exhausting. So what I want to do today is I want us to focus on our neighborhood and on our city. Kind of like with the kids, we were focused on their schools. That's not to say every problem in the city of Ottawa we have direct control over, But the Bible has a lot to say, actually, about not about how we deal with the world, as in the globe, but about how we deal with our neighbors and with our cities. So that's where we're going to focus today as we think more about fresh expressions of faith. And we're starting with Judah, Jeremiah talking to Judah, who are in exile in Babylon. They have been taken away from Jerusalem and from their homes, from their farms, from the things that they know, and they've been taken to another country. And they've been forced into a place where they have no control over what happens. They have no seat in government. They have no power. And all they want to do is go home. All they want to do is go back to where they were. And they've even been told, the previous chapter before, there was a guy named Hananiah who calls himself a prophet. And he wrote this, and it sounds good. Ready? Within 2 years, I will, this is Hananiah saying these are the words of God. Within 2 years, I will bring back to his place Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Sounds pretty good. And they were very excited to hear this, because that meant they didn't have to worry about where they were. Within 2 years, that's imaginable, right? We can imagine right now what might happen in 2027. That sounded good. But Jeremiah said something different. Jeremiah wrote this letter, and we heard a portion of it. This is what the Lord your God says. It's time to get comfortable. It's time to settle in. Don't think that you're just there for a little bit. It is time to make yourself at home. Find a place, plant a garden, right? If you're leaving in 2 years, you're not going to spend a lot of time making your garden look beautiful or productive, right? There's no point. It's going to take that much time to get a good harvest. But Jeremiah says, no, plant your garden, prepare your home, get married. Let your children get married. May your children have children. You're going to be here for a while. In fact, Jeremiah, later in that passage, as we heard, Jeremiah says 70 years. How many of us know where we're going to be in 70 years? I mean, probably all of us know approximately where we were going to be. 6 feet under, perhaps. But you know, so what he's saying effectively is, all you people who are listening to me, all you adults, you are going to die in Babylon. You are going to live the rest of your lives here. So get comfortable. But then he also says, we often hear it translated as peace and prosperity, right? Pray for the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it has prosperity, you too will prosper. But what's very cool, this is why I look at language, is the Hebrew word is one that we are probably all very familiar with. So let me read it with it there. Also, seek shalom of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it has shalom, you too will have shalom. We often hear this word and the similar Aramaic to mean peace. But it means so much more. It actually means wholeness, completeness, wellness, and welfare. It's why it gets translated as prosperity. Because a whole, complete city that is well is prosperous. But what God says is, you need to pray for the wholeness, the completeness of your city. Because it is only when your city is whole and complete that you too will be whole and complete. As I said, the Jews have no power over the government, over the policy they are setting. But they can pray. And we have seen over the history of Israel, over the history of Christianity, the power of prayer. Daniel, by his example and his friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, pray when they are forbidden to. And they make such a big impact that King Nebuchadnezzar holds Yahweh to a higher esteem than any of the gods from any of the other peoples. Because Daniel survives the lion's den and the others survive the fiery furnace through prayer. Jeremiah says, prayer is your superpower. It is the way that you can impact change when you have no power otherwise. But you do have other things you can do besides pray. You can take your part to make where you are look a little more like the kingdom of God. He says, don't be so focused on Jerusalem that you forget about where you are. As Christians, we might say, don't be so focused on getting to heaven that you forget about the city in which we find ourselves now, our neighbors, our fellow students, the teachers that we have, our coworkers, those that we dance with and volunteer with and spend time at meetings with. Don't be so focused on what's coming next, you forget about who's around you. And we see an example of what that can look like when Paul goes to Ephesus. He travels all over the known world telling people about Jesus. He keeps going in his early ministry to synagogues to talk to Jews because he's a Jew. It makes sense that that's where he goes. He keeps getting kicked out because they don't like his message or certain people don't like his message, and he ends up with the Gentiles. And some of the Gentiles don't like his message either, but many of them do. And the church grows and grows. But what's so interesting about Paul, and what you don't see really even in the story of Jesus, and of course Paul's power comes from Jesus, but any of Jesus' miracles happen with Jesus in the room. Right? He's always there. He may not always be aware it's happening, but he's always there. But Paul has been given this gift so that even when he's not there, things that have been connected to him bless other people. They talk about handkerchiefs and aprons, possibly from his work. He says he was a tent maker. He probably had thick leather aprons for doing his work. Those handkerchiefs and aprons, they go off away from him, and people touch them and they're healed. People who have never seen Paul, maybe never heard who Jesus is healed in these cities that he goes to. And man, they've got to be curious about what's going on, about how this piece of cloth would make them better. And hopefully they ask and they wonder, and they too will hear about Jesus. But Luke doesn't want to confuse us. He doesn't want to say, this isn't magic. This isn't say the right words and things will appear. This is about faith. And we know that because of this story of the sons of Sceva, which I love. It's the greatest smackdown in the New Testament. Because these guys who don't really know Jesus, who don't know what's going on, just know that Paul has been successful, try to go and remove demons by the power of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And one of the demons looks at them through this guy he's possessing and says, okay, I know Jesus, because we know the demons all knew Jesus. I know Jesus. I've heard of Paul, but who are you? And then proceeds to beat him up. And I don't advocate violence, but like, basically these guys are trying to go around saying, okay, I know the magic words. I mentioned this guy Jesus. I mentioned this guy Paul. Everything's good. And they're like, how this works. And they learn their lesson and they don't do it anymore. And in fact, people hear about this lesson, and what they learn out of this is that magic is dangerous. That Jesus and the Holy Spirit offers something more. And so they come and they burn 50,000 drachma worth of magic scrolls in the city square. So all of these people who are going around basically trying to, I would think in most cases, trying to fake people out of their money. are burning the things that they would use as their evidence. Real change is happening in the city of Ephesus. Real change for the better, because Paul comes and talks about Jesus. Because Paul allows the Holy Spirit to work as he talks. And what we hear at the end is this is the result. The word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Our God is not a timid God. Our God is not one who can't do anything. Our God is a God of power. And when people boldly proclaim it, when people go out of their way to try to make the city better, God's power grows and expands. And we are invited into the same. So I wanted to show you something that's happening in the city of Ottawa. This is a multi-church effort called One Church, One Day. And the idea behind this is that prayer has power. That prayer actually makes a difference in this world. And that if we work together as churches within the city, we can create a powerful tent of prayer across our city. I'm just going to grab the remote so I can point at some things. So what they've decided to do, so a church can sign up for a day of the month. So you pick a week and you pick a day of that week, and that is your day to pray. And all of the churches receive something to pray for the month. And so you'll see there's names through here. So you'll see Gloucester Church and St. Paul's Presbyterian. They're both part of the Presbyterian Church in Canada who are part of this. You'll see they've got a good portion of the month filled, but not quite all of them. And then the prayer things that you get come from each of these categories. So the body of Christ, arts and culture, business, education, family, government, healthcare, media, police, fire, and EMS. Sort of all these different branches of what makes a city whole and connected. And they pray about them in different ways every month. In some cases, you'll see here, these are churches that have decided to band together. The idea is 24 hours a day, somebody at any given point in the city is praying for our city. They do say if you can't pray over 24 hours, you pray when you can, but you can set things up so that for the majority of the month, the majority of the time, at any given moment, someone is praying for the city of Ottawa. So this is just one thing that's happening that takes seriously the idea that prayer works and that prayer is worth doing. I need to give this back to you. So you can take that down, Alicia. We are invited to think about this seriously, I think, about what it looks like to make our city a little bit better. Prayer is certainly one of the ways we do that. We can also tell people about why we think Jesus makes the world a bit better, why Jesus has made our lives a little bit better. And if you're not sure of what the answer to that is, then that's a really great thing to think about and to ponder and to discuss with friends and family. But also, we leave little signs behind that help people wonder about who this Jesus guy might be. I think our white gift is a really great example of leaving behind a little material example of blessing and love to these young people who maybe don't have anybody else to tell them that they matter. And when they look at their homemade washcloths and their treats and their gift cards, I'm sure some of them wonder, why would someone do this for me? And we leave them a little letter that tells them why. When we give the gifts for the angel tree, when we drop off these Christmas presents to these young kids who have parents who are incarcerated. They've got to wonder, why did someone bring me a Christmas present? Certainly their caregivers have to, and we can tell them, because we care about you, because you matter. And another handkerchief, another apron is left that can do healing. Maybe not healing of physical ailments, although God does that too, but the healing of the soul, of the spirit, of the distress and the distraught that we can feel when we don't know where to find hope. We have that power. When we look around and we say all the problems are too big, we can't do it. The truth is we can, in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood here, in all of those places, we have an opportunity to leave handkerchiefs of God's grace. We have the opportunity to pray and work for shalom, for completeness for the city of Ottawa. And when we do that, God shows up, and God's power and God's reputation grows. And more people wonder, why? And it points them to Jesus. Let us pray. God, you are good. You love us. You love what we do for you. You love us just for who we are. But you also like to leave these little gifts of grace and love. Help us this week to be intentional about leaving handkerchiefs of grace around our community. Help us to give an encouraging word, to make someone smile, to show them that they matter. May we cover this city with prayer, and may your power grow because of it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.